Okay, our sermon today is based on a reading from Acts, a continuation of the story that we heard earlier, Acts 16, verses 25 through 34. After they had given them, Paul and Silas, a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So slowly but surely, the shelter-in-place restrictions are being lifted, and slowly but surely, we are receiving the green light to resume our normal everyday schedules. But even after this pandemic passes, we know nothing will ever be like it was before. COVID-19 has been that disruptive and that globally impactful. There really is no aspect of life it has not touched. We will feel and deal with the repercussions for a long, long time. But at least we won't be stuck anymore, right? Once again, I have to give a grateful shout out to the Holy Spirit. As I've told you, this sermon series about being stuck in an ark, in a well, in a whale, and now once again in jail, this series came to me even before we were being quarantined. It's like the Holy Spirit knew exactly what was coming, and she wanted us to be ready to deal with this new necessary reality. I believe one of the lessons she wanted us to learn was that no matter where you are or how stuck you think you are never alone. Didn't God watch over Noah and his family and each and every animal stuck in the ark? And didn't God bring them to dry land and stop the rain? And as a bonus, didn't God send us a promise to never destroy the world like that again? A promise in the shape of a rainbow. Didn't God watch over Jeremiah stuck in the mud of a deep well, out of sight and out of mind? God didn't let him sink all the way down. And didn't God send someone, the Ethiopian eunuch Abedmelech, to save Jeremiah? Someone Jeremiah didn't expect to come to his rescue, but Jeremiah was grateful to him all the same. And didn't God watch over Jonah stuck in the belly of the great fish, all sloshed in slime and seawater? Didn't God hear Jonah's prayer, and didn't God set him free once Jonah learned his lesson and came to his senses, humbly accepting the task God had given him, the same task he had tried to run away from? Sure, they were all stuck for a while in their different situations, but God did not forget or forsake them. Every one of these people God looked out for all the time they were stuck, and at the right time, God saved each and every one of them. And God has done and is doing the same for us. So thank you, God. So here's another story of someone that got stuck but never gave up. Well, two people, actually, Paul and Silas. They got about as stuck as you can get, stashed and stowed in the innermost cell of a dark and dank and dreary prison. And for good measure, their feet were stuck in stocks. You've probably seen pictures of people in medieval or colonial times who were punished by being placed in stocks. Basically, you sat upright with your feet trapped in between the wooden barriers with your legs extended straight in front of you. It was extremely uncomfortable. The legs were spread far enough apart to make them ache, and the stocks were tight around the ankles, undoubtedly chafing them and rubbing them raw enough to bleed. You couldn't lie down and you couldn't move. Sometimes, to make things even worse, because this was a very public punishment, people passing by threw things at you, rotten fruit, dirt, stones, and worse. You were stuck. You couldn't move. You couldn't dodge those dire missiles. And this was the situation Paul and Silas found themselves stuck in after being assaulted and arrested for doing a good deed, for freeing that poor girl who was stuck making money for her enslavers, stuck in the possession of a demon, stuck with no way out until Paul turned around and ordered the demon out of her. For this, Paul and Silas were seized and stuck in stocks. And now it was midnight, and things were looking mighty hopeless and grim. But what were Paul and Silas doing? They were singing, singing. I wonder what songs they sang. Maybe, "Please release me, let me go." Maybe Folsom Prison Blues. "Any day now, I shall be released." Freebird. Maybe they sang, "How can I keep from singing?" For even in their dire circumstances, they were compelled to continue to thank God and worship God and praise God. The other prisoners were actually listening to them. Not one of them said, "Shut up, will you? I'm trying to sleep." They needed to hear their songs of hope and liberation and release. Paul and Silas had been beaten. They were probably still in pain. Their legs were probably aching from the unrelenting strain the stocks put them under. And yet there they were, stuck in stocks and singing. Singing. Looking on the optimistic side of things, sure of their release, sure that God was watching over them, just as God had watched over Noah and Jeremiah and Jonah and Peter. Knowing that was enough to help them bear their pain. That knowledge, that reassurance expressed itself in songs from the heart that echoed throughout the jail. They knew they had done nothing wrong. Indeed, they had freed someone in the name of Jesus Christ. They knew others were praying for them. They knew they would get out somehow, and even if they didn't, they knew they would be in God's own care. So yes, how could they keep from singing? It's an important lesson we need to learn, that no matter our circumstances, no matter how stuck we think we are, we need to rise above the situation and realize we are never alone. Hark, in an ark, not alone. You fell in a well? Not alone. Did you wail in a whale or a jail? Not alone. God is always with us, always. Of course, we may have our moments of agonizing. God, why did you let this happen? Well, it happened so God could demonstrate to you and to others the awesomeness of God's great power, the ability of God to get us unstuck, no matter how impossible the situation seems to us. An ark, a well, a whale, a jail. God is all about freeing us from whatever tries to separate us from God. Paul and Silas showed us that even when we're stuck, we have to keep our eyes on God and trust in God's goodness and mercy to set us free, to bring us back to dry land, to send some kind soul to pluck us out of the muck, to make whatever is holding us in or holding us back let us go, to send to us an angel to wake us up and lead us out. In Paul and Silas's case, God sent a timely earthquake to open the prison doors and break not only their chains, but the other prisoners' chains too. Perhaps Paul prayed for a dramatic release that would serve as a witness to all the other prisoners with them, and the guard too, a witness that they relied on the Creator God of the universe, and they were sure God heard their songs and prayers, and God would do something wonderful for them in response. And even if God had not sent the earthquake to save them, Paul and Silas knew God would still be with them, however long they were stuck there. Tertullian said, "The legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven." Perhaps the pair were already imagining themselves in the heavenly realm, and that picture gave them a peace that made every ache and every uncertainty bearable. So what, we got stuck for a while. And while it was inconvenient, Well, it wasn't as bad as being confined in a dark, smelly ship on uncertain seas. It wasn't as bad as being thrown into a well and slowly sinking down, 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 covered in mud. It wasn't as bad as being sucked into the slimy stomach acid of a gigantic fish and then getting vomited back out. It wasn't bad as being chained or put into stocks in a horrible dungeon, was it? It was a time to ponder and pray, just as Noah and Jeremiah and Jonah and Peter and Paul and Silas pondered and prayed, not just wondering when it would all be over, but praising God for being right there with them and with us, and being confident that somehow God would get them and us out of these dire straits we were stuck in. How much did we sing during our confinement? How much did we praise God for just being who God is? Maybe we all needed to have a time of solitude and reassessment, a break from the worries of the world, to get ourselves ready for the new thing God is doing. God has indeed shaken our world, and God may very well shake it again before he's through. Sometimes that's what's needed to get our attention and drag it back to God. That earthquake got the jailer's attention. He had such an earth-shattering experience that he turned his life over to God and then took tender care of the prisoners he had never deemed worthy of kindness. He had been stuck as much as Paul and Silas, stuck in a heartless job, stuck in an existence that did not allow God into the prison of his heart. When he thought all the prisoners had escaped, he thought he was stuck in the dictums of the law that said his life was to be the forfeit, and he almost got stuck on his own sword until Paul shouted out, "Stop, we're all here, we all stuck around." The jailer knew precisely when he became unstuck, and he knew precisely what he had to do to show his appreciation and acceptance of the freedom he had received. God has shaken the earth again and turned our hearts to a greater appreciation of what God can do for us and a greater eagerness for what God will do next with us and for us. Indeed, we are stuck with God. And who better else to be stuck with for the rest of our lives? And how can we keep from singing? Let us pray. God, shake up the world once again. Shake away the indifference we are stuck in. Take away the fear and the complacency that ensnare us. Show us this new thing you are doing, God, and make us part of it. Release us from the mud and the muck and the slime and slobber and the chains and chaos and stocks and strictures that seek to drag us away from you. Help us get unstuck, God, and hear us as we sing our praises to you. Amen. May God be with all of us as we work through this new time together. May we all be ready for God to do something new and wonderful with us and for us. It's all going to be all right. Like Andy Brashear, a fellow disciple and governor of Kentucky, says, we will get through this. We will get through this together. And God will be with us always. Go in peace. Amen.